Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Panic on the streets of London. Panic on the streets of Birmingham. I wonder to myself, could life ever be sane again?
So in the midst of financial panic, that's Panic by the Smiths, how do you pick a Treasury Secretary? One who's been given a $700 billion expense account by Congress and who may be given a few hundred billion dollars more to bail out homeowners under the plan that McCain proposed last night. With us now is Vikash Bajaj, New York Times reporter. Maybe you saw his front page story on fear and panic in today's paper. Vikash, thanks for coming back on with us. Good morning.
Good to be here.
I want to ask you in a minute about this McCain bailout plan and what you guys at the business desk are saying about it, whether it's anything really different when he talked in the debate last night about bailing out the homeowners and not just the banks. But on panic and fear, you'd think that people would have been reassured on this news this morning that the Federal Reserve, or yesterday, that the Federal Reserve would buy commercial paper and lend money directly to companies, something almost unprecedented in the history of the federal government in the United States. But instead, the stock market went down another 500 points yesterday. What do you make of it?
I think that there are various explanations that people offer, you know, but I think chief among them is that there's this sort of a sense of fear and panic in the market. I mean, people are just sort of have had it, and they want to get out. And we saw this similarly in 2002, and it sort of happens from time to time in the markets where people just sort of throw up their hands in the air and say, get me out.
And something takes over. You need a psychologist instead of an accountant to figure out how to invest.
Indeed. Sometimes, I mean, psychologists have done a lot of work on this subject. And, you know, we do know that the loss of money is much more immediate and visceral in our brains than the gain of money. And so we act much more quickly when we're losing money than we're, perhaps we do when we're making money.
So we have the Dow and the S&P. Some people are getting to know the LIBOR as a credit index. But in your article, you tell us there is an official barometer of panic known as the Fear Index, or the VIX.
Yes. The VIX basically measures future volatility. It's basically composed of options trades that people use to protect themselves against future losses, and typically goes up when people are very fearful. And used by, you know, professional traders, but also even retail investors use options. So some of that is captured in there as well. And it's at its highest level since the 1987 crash, when it was much, much higher, I might add.
So on Tuesday, the VIX level climbed to its highest level since the 1987 stock market crash?
Yeah, and I should say that it had also been higher. That same could have been said for the last few days. It's just been continuing to go up almost in a straight line. I'm looking at it on my screen. It's kind of very amazing to see, because usually things in the markets don't move in a straight line for a very long time.
Right. And, of course, anybody who bought stocks right after that 87 crash was a happy man or woman by 88 or 89. Maybe the mood will turn around and people have a buying opportunity, but that is not financial advice. You interviewed someone from MIT studying brain behavior of investors, and he argues that fear is a much stronger motivational force than greed. That's interesting.
Mm-hmm. It is. It some of this is sort of just our natural, flight response. You know, in the wild, if you're threatened, you run. You don't think about, you know, what are the prospects that I'm going to get attacked. You just kind of flee. And so some of this is just that. It's a reaction, sort of an immediate visceral reaction. The other thing that Professor Lowe told me was that I don't think made in the paper was that sometimes we act and we don't even realize we're acting until later, because it's so hardwired in our brains to move away from danger.
So what about Malcolm Gladwell and the wisdom of crowds? You're telling us about the irrationality of crowds.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's one or the other. I think it's both. I think that you know, there are times when crowds are telling us something correct and something, you know, that we should be paying attention to, and then there are times when crowds behave irrationally or seemingly irrationally. I don't want to presuppose the judgments of lots and lots of people, but you know, when you have a stampede, a lot of people get hurt. If you had a more orderly exit, fewer people would probably get hurt.
We can take a few phone calls for Vikas Bajaj, New York Times reporter. See his front page article today on panic and fear. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And he can talk not just about psychology in the markets, but some of the other business things that are going on. Remember, he was here last week to talk about the municipal bond market and other government bond markets and their reactions to all of this. 212-433-WNYC if you want to talk to Vikas this morning. So I'm still very intrigued by this McCain proposal from last night about $300 billion of a bailout for the homeowners who are facing mortgage problems, not just the banks, which is how we usually think of this big bailout bill that was passed by Congress. What's the buzz at the New York Times business desk? Is this something really new?
This is something that's been offered and suggested several times over the last, 12 months. It's not in and of itself a new idea. In fact, the $700 billion proposal that was passed by Congress allows the Treasury to buy individual mortgages and renegotiate their terms, but leaves the discretion up to the Treasury Secretary as to what exactly he will buy. He can pretty much buy anything he wants under that proposal. So this is an idea that's been around. It has a lot of proponents. This is something that the government did in the 1930s with the Homeowners Loan Corporation, where the Homeowners Loan Corporation, I think, at one point acquired, a huge chunk of the mortgages outstanding, maybe 10 or 25%. I don't remember that off the top of my head.
Obama's response in the debate was that this is not really new and that the Treasury Secretary has already been given the power under the bailout bill to buy the mortgage debt from the borrowers as well as the lenders, you think?
Yeah, I mean, as I said, the Treasury Secretary has the power to buy these individual mortgages. In fact, that was one of the things that smaller banks had been lobbying for, because they don't necessarily have mortgage securities to sell, but they have individual loans to sell, and they'd love to be able to sell those to the Treasury Department.
All right, so this story is not over. The McCain campaign is going to put out some clarification this morning on what is really new here and whether it's a trickle-up plan to match the trickle-down plan or whether it's not. One thing that was interesting last night, they agreed on something. You know what they agreed on? Who would be the best Treasury Secretary in the new administration?
There's a lot of qualified Americans, but I think the first criteria, Tom, would have to be somebody who immediately Americans identify with, immediately say we can trust that individual. Supporter of Senator Obama's is Warren Buffett. He's already weighed in and helped stabilize some of the difficulties in the markets and with companies and corporations, institutions today.
Warren would be a pretty good choice, Warren Buffett, and I'm pleased to have his support, but there are other folks out there. The key is making sure that the next Treasury Secretary understands that it's not enough just to help those at the top. Prosperity is not just going to trickle down.
All right. Well, two thumbs up for Warren Buffett, although I think Obama signaled there that it probably wouldn't be Warren Buffett for him.
Yeah, I mean, Warren Buffett's name comes up all the time for all sorts of things. Warren's been pretty firmly implanted at Berkshire Hathaway for some time, and I'm not sure that this is the kind of thing that he would do, although only he could say that for sure. But, you know, he's certainly seen as sort of the wise man of investing throughout the land.
And certainly while everybody else has been selling, Warren Buffett has been very conspicuously buying banks and other things, and he's, you know, I think trying to set himself up as a beacon of optimism in the midst of all this fear and panic.
He's also trying to make a lot of money, right? He sees value. I mean, he's a value investor, which is basically investors who look for hidden values in stocks and think that something has been beaten down too much or something that's not underappreciated by the rest of the investing public.
Right.
And so he's just, you know, I think he's just looking to make money and he sees a great opportunity here.
Yeah, well, still, though, signaling to others that there are great opportunities and not just doom and gloom on the horizon. Mm-hmm. Judith in South Orange, you're on WNYC with Vikas Bajaj. Hello.
Oh, hello there. Thank you for taking my call.
You bet.
With your speaker, the concept came up of fear and flight, and I had been watching a show the other day about wolves and wild animals, and there was another concept that came up about flight distance. So it wasn't just that if you were around a food source and something spooked you and you ran away, the animals that ran the furthest away couldn't get back to the food source, such as like a prehistoric garbage dump, as quickly as the animals that only ran a short distance. The ones who only fled a short distance had a better chance of getting back and surviving. And will this...
So what does that mean? Just go from stocks to bonds?
I was just curious. The people that run away from investing, but the don't have as good a chance of surviving in the long run as the people that only step back a short distance.
It's an interesting analogy. I don't know if there's any way to measure whether it holds in human terms and in economic terms, but Vikas, in our last 20 seconds, we have the wolves as well as the bulls and the bears.
I don't know that particular piece of research, but I do know that, you know, one of the things that people caution investors, retail investors, about is that if you leave the market, don't forget to come back, you know, down the road when things start improving.
Right. Well, I love callers like Judith who analyze across disciplines. So, Judith, thank you very much. And Vikas Bajaj, New York Times business reporter's front page article on fear and panic today. Thank you very much. Always a pleasure.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC.